The Lord be with you.
And with
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Many of Jesus' disciples who were listening said, "This saying is hard. Who can accept it?" Since Jesus knew that his disciples were murmuring about this, he said to them, "Does this shock you? What if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit that gives life, while the flesh is of no avail. The words I have spoken to you are spirit and life, but there are some of you who do not believe." Jesus knew from the beginning the ones who would not believe and the one who would betray him. And he said, "For this reason I have told you that no one can come to me unless it was granted him by the Father." As a result of this, many of his disciples returned to their former way of life and no longer accompanied him. Jesus then said to the 12, "Do you also want to leave?" Simon Peter answered him, "Master, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We've come to believe and are convinced that you are the Holy One of God." The Gospel of the Lord. Our first reading from the book of Joshua and our gospel reading from the Gospel of John are about choices. Joshua is giving his people a choice. They can stay or they can leave. And Jesus is giving his disciples a choice. They can stay or they can leave. And I think as we think about our lives, every time we're faced with a choice, no matter what that choice is, no matter how important or no matter how mundane, we realize there are always consequences, no matter which way we go. I just got back from 2 weeks of vacation, and when Marie and I go on vacation with our family, we don't watch the news. It's a way to get away, to disconnect from the world. We don't turn the television on. We just want to be completely apart from all of that and really enjoy it, almost like a retreat. And this year I resolved to do the same thing, and that lasted 2 days. And the reason it lasted 2 days was that on Monday, August 12th, a flash came across my phone that a grand jury in Pennsylvania had released a report detailing the abuse of over 1,000 victims by 300 priests in the state of Pennsylvania. These priests were protected from civil authority by their bishops. The first thing I thought of were the thousands of victims. Innocent people abused by folks that they should trust. I thought about the shattered lives. Innocent victims who struggle today in relationships that demand trust. The victims that turn to drugs and alcohol and ruin their lives as a result. And the victims who committed suicide. And as I thought of those victims, I grew angry. And I grew angrier. And I'm still angry. How could men ordained in this church to sanctify the people of God become predators of the people of God? How could bishops who are ordained to protect, teach, and serve the flock transfer these wolves from parish to parish and diocese to diocese? What these men did is a sin, but it's also a crime. And for those who are still living, they should not only be removed from ministry, they should be handed over to the civil courts, and if convicted, they should go to prison. I'm also angry because within our church, we have tens of thousands of good, honorable bishops and priests, like Father Terry and Archbishop Gregory and Bishop Ned and Bishop Joel, who pour themselves out every single day for the gospel, who diligently and faithfully serve their faith community. But now many people will look at them with contempt and suspicion. And that is unjust. It's not deserved. I'm also angry because, as Catholics, we're going to be challenged. In the intervening 2 weeks since the news broke, I've been asked by two different people, are you going to leave the Catholic Church? When are you going to wise up and leave this church that's full of evil? My brothers and sisters, there's a cancer on the body of Christ, and it needs to be eradicated. Each one of us are going to face these questions in the coming months. When we're challenged like this, we have to make a choice. We have to decide if we're going to stay or if we're going to leave. In the gospel reading today, the disciples were faced with that very choice. Jesus was giving his 12 the freedom to walk away after teaching them one of the hardest things they could imagine, that somehow bread and wine would become his body and blood, and they would consume that body and blood to have eternal life. But they decided to stay. And St. Peter suffered many consequences of that decision. On one hand, there must have been great joy as he continued to follow Jesus on his journey, watching the miraculous healings and those who came to believe. But then he failed miserably in Jerusalem on Good Friday. He was ashamed and saddened and embarrassed, humiliated. But then came Easter, and St. Peter became a pillar of our church. He became our first Holy Father. All of that was a consequence of his decision to stay. And finally, the last consequence for Peter was he was martyred. So every decision has a consequence. And our decision to stay will bring about a consequence of people asking these questions of us. It seems like the times are dark. I thought in 2002 and 2003, when the sex abuse crisis first broke, that our bishops were taking positive action. Reforms were being put in place. We were heading to a new direction. There was light at the end of the tunnel, and better days were ahead. I was wrong. This scourge still continues within our church. Last night I said that things feel dark and they'll get darker. Overnight they did. The former Apostolic Nuncio to the United States, who is the ambassador to the United States from the Vatican, released testimony last night that he had reported the actions of Theodore McCarrick to the Vatican to all three of our last pontiffs, and nothing was done. It's not a happy time in the church, but it is a time to act. We, the clergy, the bishops, priests, and deacons, are not to be worshiped. There was a time in the church that you were probably told, and all people were told, that clergy really can't do anything wrong, and they can't say anything wrong, and they're to be honored no matter what. The offices we hold are to be honored. We individually are not. We are not to be worshiped. Worship is reserved for God alone. God the Father, the Creator. God the Son, the Redeemer. And God the Holy Spirit, the Sanctifier. That is the foundation of our faith. Worshiping God, not any man or any specific institution. Pope Francis has condemned the clericalism that has led to this day. This belief that somehow the clergy are above everyone else. In a letter he wrote last Monday, he urged an end to that for all time. You see, brothers and sisters, we clergy are not your masters. We are your servants. The church is comprised of two groups, clergy and laity. And laity comprise 99% of all the faithful. We clergy are less than 1%. And the Holy Father is calling you to action today. It's been proven that the bishops cannot solve this problem. So it's time for the laity to be involved. We need the laity to call on reform and participate in the implementation of that reform. We need to reform how candidates for the priesthood and permanent diaconate are accepted, formed, and monitored. So those who are evil, those who have inclinations that are counter to the church, those who are immoral will be weeded out before ordination. We need to reform how alleged cases of abuse are evaluated. We need to strip that from the bishop, who alone makes the decision, and give it to a group of laity who are qualified. From a standpoint of law enforcement, psychology, and psychiatry. And when an individual abuse case is found to be valid or credible, it should be turned over to the authorities and let the police and the prosecutors deal with it. This is a time of shame and hurt, but it's a time to involve the laity. That is not an option anymore. It is a necessity. Every time someone asks me if I'm going to leave the church, I feel shame. I'm not ashamed of my faith. I'm not ashamed of the church. But I'm ashamed of those priests and bishops that have brought this on us all. Like the followers of Jesus back 2,000 years ago, we face a choice. We can stay, or we can, in despair, just leave. If we stay, we have the ability to participate in the reforms that are necessary to clean our church and restore it to its beauty here on earth, to make it a place that is attractive for others to come. If we choose to leave, there's a consequence. We find ourselves walking away from the living Word of God that we hear every time we come to Mass. We find ourselves walking away from the real presence of Christ, His body, blood, soul, and divinity in the Holy Eucharist. We find ourselves walking away from the fullness of faith that is only found within our church. And if we do decide to leave, we have another choice to make. To whom shall we go?
As you know,